right, here we are. Welcome to the Stronger Stride podcast. Thank you so, so much for being here. It is wonderful to be speaking to you today. It feels like I haven't had a solo one-on-one catch up with you guys for a really long time. I think it's been over a month now since we've had a solo with myself, Sophie Lane. So it is great to be here. As always, I would love Lydia Mackay to be here, but she is currently on her way from Brisbane to Sydney with Lockie Cameron, who has been running a long way all week. He's on day 9, I believe, and I think he's just reached the Central Coast. It's Friday afternoon at the moment as I speak, 17th of May, and he is due to arrive, I think, tomorrow night in Sydney. So that's super exciting, but that's where she is. I am just at home chilling. It's Friday afternoon. I have finished work for the semester. So I've been teaching at UTS and that has now finished. The last day of the semester for that subject was today. So it felt a bit like the last day of school, you know, and you just kind of hang around and watch movies and everyone's in a good mood, but everyone's also just keen to get out of there. So that's done. That was fun. And now I'm just chilling at home and I'm going to chat to you and I am excited to do so. As you would have seen in the title, we are talking about some considerations and things to think about when you are training for a marathon. Now, that doesn't mean if you're not training for a marathon, you won't take anything away from this. If you're training for a half marathon or a 10K or an ultra or really any distance, a lot of these principles will apply to any of those events and distances because at the end of the day, it's all about running, right? The distance is less relevant. Of course, there are specific things to consider and we will be diving into some specific things, but also talking more broadly about some general concepts and principles to consider when you are training for an event. So keep listening, even if you're not training for a marathon. Now, the other updates I have for you are what else is happening? UTA is this weekend and Sydney 10, so it's a big weekend, double header for both the ultra trail runners and the speedy 10k runners of Sydney and Australia more broadly. So super exciting. The 22k was today, we've got the 50 and the 100 tomorrow. I'm gonna head out there tomorrow and do what I do best, cheering people on, yelling out some motivational quotes, taking some photos, hanging out and having a good time. So I'm really excited for that. I don't know if I'd say I'm jealous that I'm not running. There's definitely a part of me that's like, oh, it would be so much fun to be out there. But also, it's a really tough course. So part of me is sort of relieved. In saying all that, I am in my current training block getting ready for Europe. I am hitting the global international stage, entering my debut, international event. That makes it sound like I'm an elite runner, which, as you know, if you've listened to more than one episode of this, you will know that is incorrect. But anyway, I'm going to Europe and doing some trail runs and some mountain runs. So my current focus is on building some volume, doing some back-to-back days, doing some double runs, trying to get some hills in and just getting the body as robust and ready to go as it can be, which is feeling really good. I feel like I'm responding quite well. I am running 6 days a week with one or two double days at the moment. Now, that makes it seem like it's some extreme amount of kilometers. It's still not. Like, my runs are still not super long. I'm still, you know, relative to what I normally do, it's a little bit more, but it's not anything beyond that because I am very, very aware that any increase in load is a massive increase in injury risk. So I am still being sensible and cautious, but also trying to make sure that I am increasing my load so that when I'm in Italy running through the Dolomites every day back to back, that I can handle that and I'm able to make the most of that trip and enjoy it as much as possible. So that is my current training at the moment. The other update and the inspiration for this episode, you might have seen on Instagram if you follow us at Stronger Stride, that we have announced some training programs for Sydney Marathon, which is something that has been in the works and kind of in the background for a while. I've been coaching people now for coming up to 2.5-3 years, and it's something that I've sort of done for friends, and I obviously did through work through another company for the last 2 years, and now we're going out solo and doing it on our own. So at the moment, I am writing programs and creating some, session plans and all the rest of it for a bunch of runners who are doing Sydney Marathon. We've got some runners doing UTA. We've got some people doing all sorts of random events. But I thought it would be nice to get a bit of a collective together of people who are doing Sydney Marathon. We want it to become a major. Lydia and I are really big supporters of Sydney Marathon and everyone involved. So it felt like the right thing to announce and make public and make a bit of a group thing. So if you are interested, or if you're training for Sydney Marathon, or you're thinking about doing it, even if you don't have a ticket yet, I'm sure lots of tickets will come available towards the end or towards the date as people drop out. So if you do want to train for it, or you're just wanting to get a bit of structure, accountability, have some programming individualized to yourself. So it's not a cookie cutter program. It's not just a PDF download. This will be exactly based on your availability, your schedule, your needs, your injury history, training history, and exactly what you need to be doing. So if you are interested, send us a message on Instagram, or you can email strongerstride@gmail.com. But if you'd like any more information, most of the info is on Instagram. And yeah, that's about all I'll say about that. That's enough of a shameless self-plug. But if you're keen, or if you know anyone who is, please reach out. So that brings us to consideration number one, getting a coach. Now, this isn't an essential. This isn't something that is non-negotiable, but it does make a world of difference. If you've got some structure, some accountability, if you've got someone doing the thinking for you, it takes so much of the pressure off, and you can just turn up, look at your watch or look at your phone or look at your printed out program and just go, okay, cool, this is what I'm doing today. And it really takes a lot of that stress out of it. Running a marathon, or running any long event or an event that feels important to you, is quite all consuming, and it takes up a lot of brain space and it takes up a lot of thinking time. So if you can have a large proportion of that taken out from your responsibility and given to someone else who's an expert, who knows what they're doing, and who can look at your training objectively and give you exactly what you need, it makes a world of difference. I'm not going to bang on about this too much. We will move swiftly on to our next point, but get a coach. It doesn't have to be me, but just get someone who knows what they're talking about, who's got qualifications, but also experience, and also just understanding and a bit of personal, ability to communicate and ability to understand exactly what you need. That will go a long way. Moving swiftly along, what I think are the most important aspects of training for a marathon. Now, I thought about this for quite a while, and I think I've come down to two key aspects. One of them is a little bit more boring than the other, but I think you can't have any of the other stuff without the first aspect, which is recovery. So yes, the long runs are important. Yes, the speed work is important. Maybe some hill sessions, maybe getting in the gym, getting stronger. All of that obviously is important. But if you're not recovering, then you're not adapting. And then all of that is just a waste of time, right? If you spend hours and hours, weeks and weeks, months and months doing all this incredible training, but you're not allowing yourself to recover, whether that's having poor sleeping habits, obviously in certain situations, shift work, parents, people with insomnia, all sorts of things, sleep might be limited. But if you are not doing anything to help your sleep, that's going to really inhibit things. If you are burning yourself into the ground, just overtraining, running all the time, not having any easy days, not having any rest days, not doing any cross training instead of a run, those things are going to contribute too. So if we're not allowing ourselves to recover, then we're not going to adapt from the training. Therefore, the training is a waste of time because we're going to get injured, we're going to get sick, we're going to hurt ourselves, we're going to be completely exhausted and unable to perform. So priority, recovery. If we can keep recovery in mind as our first option, I think often it's a second thought or something that's kind of tacked on at the end, but if that sets our foundation before we start to plug in where our runs are going to be, we'll be set up to be in a very sustainable position, something that we can maintain. So think about your recovery. Look at your week and go, okay, which days am I slightly busier, or do I have more stress in my life? Which days am I unable to get as much sleep? Which days do I have, a lot more time on my feet or doing more physical work or other incidental exercise? Think about all those things, and stress as well, because all of that is going to contribute to this. And then we can start to enter some runs and training sessions in and around those things, keeping those in mind and making sure that we are understanding and aware of what's happening. If you're someone whose work is really up and down, so maybe you've got some kind of relaxed, quieter weeks, but then end of financial year or end of month or whatever it is just like mayhem, chaos, you're working massive days, you're super stressed, then maybe that's when we deload our running training so that we're able to at least give ourselves a chance to recover a little bit physically while we've got the mental and work load on top of us. So thinking about our recovery before we even think about anything else, I think, is most important. In terms of a marathon specifically, I think personally, if we were to look at all the different running sessions and runs throughout the week, I think if we could select one as the most important, I think it has to be the long run. Particularly for our newer runners who haven't covered that distance before or are just slowly starting to build up the distance, I think that long run is so crucial because it really is the thing that gets your body used to doing the thing that you need to do on race day, right? If we are able to cover distance, if we're able to practice our nutrition and our fueling strategies and our mental strategies on these longer runs, it's going to have a really good transfer to our race day. Of course, our speed work, our tempo threshold, our shorter easy runs, all of that contributes, our strength work, it's all super important. But I think if we were to, you know, if you could only choose to have one run per week, which is not ideal, but for some people that might be the reality, then getting that one long run in is going to be really valuable. Now, when I say long run, of course, that's really relative. That can mean so many different things to so many different people. But if we're thinking about training for a marathon, we obviously want to be starting to build that distance, moving closer and closer towards that marathon distance. Not necessarily, or probably not for a large majority of people, getting super close to that distance. So you don't need to run 42 kilometers or 42.2 before the race day. For some people, they get a lot of confidence from covering a large proportion of the distance before race day. They feel like, you know, if they don't get to, I don't know, 37 or 38 Ks, they're worried that they won't actually be able to finish. For some people, they don't have quite that same concern, so they might not need to. But in terms of the long run as a whole, super important. The question that then always comes up after that, and I touched on just briefly then, is, well, how long does my long run need to be? It's one of those things like, what's the phrase? How long is a piece of string? There's so many answers. There's so many options. There's so much variety and variables. I think the number one thing that this comes down to is your training history. Have you done this distance before ever in your life? Have you ever run more than 30 kilometers in your life? Those sorts of questions will start to give an answer as to how far that run should be in the lead up to the marathon. If you've done 10 marathons before and you're comfortable doing ultra marathons and you'd happily do a 50K on the weekend as an event, then potentially you are able to handle more of that load. You've got an increased capacity and increased tolerance. If you're someone who is less injury prone, if you've got great recovery strategies, if you don't have much external stress outside of your training volume, then potentially you can handle a little bit longer in that long run. But generally speaking, what most people strive for is around that 32 to 38K range. I think for most of my athletes, we try and get towards that 35 or 36, but again, it depends on so many factors. If you've given yourself enough time and you're able to really slowly and gradually progress the distance or the time of those long runs over months and months, then you might be able to more safely increase that and build up towards a longer distance. But if you're on a slightly more rushed program, if you've only given yourself 12 weeks, then you're not going to have as many opportunities to get that long run in. Therefore, you might have to just sacrifice a couple of kilometers in order to ensure that you're well recovered and not doing yourself a disservice by running too far. So we've got our recovery as kind of our foundation. Then we've got our long run as our most important run. But what I want you to think about as well is your time frame. So how long are you actually allowing yourself to train for this? By the time this comes out, it should be about 17 weeks before the Sydney Marathon. So if you're training for the Sydney Marathon, or you've signed up, or you're thinking about trying to get a last minute ticket, if there's any that come available, then we want to really start to think about starting our training program soon. The program that I'm running is a 16 week program, so that will start the following week after this. So if you are interested, you'll need to let me know ASAP, because we will be closing, let me check the date on the, I think the 23rd, Thursday the 23rd is when applications will close for that program. That will give us a full 16 weeks. Now, what we need to think about when we are thinking about this time frame is what I like to call kind of the opportunities for the long run. So if we think about our 16 weeks, we've got our 16th week, the final week being the actual race itself. So we can cross that one out. We also think about our taper, which will be at least 2 weeks, right? The week before, the week before that will at least be a taper, potentially the third one as well, but again, depends on the person. So let's take those 3 weeks out for the race and then the 2 week taper. We also need to have some deload weeks in throughout our program too. So if we had one of those each month, if we discount the last month, then we've got another 3. So that's already 6 weeks gone. So our 16 week program, in terms of our opportunities for a long run, has now significantly reduced itself into 10 weeks. So if you're someone who at the moment is running 10Ks and that's kind of your long run distance, then we need to think about how are we going to get you from 10 kilometers at the moment to 42 kilometers in 16 weeks, remembering that we may only have 10 weeks of opportunity for that. We also need to consider things like sickness, injury, work, commitments, holidays. These things are going to come up. So allowing yourself a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of time to spare. I've been training a few runners who recently did the Hawke Half Marathon with the view to do Sydney Marathon towards the end of the year. So they've been on a program already for 12 to 16 weeks prior to this. So there's already been a bit of momentum building. And if you're already comfortable around that half marathon mark, it's going to be much easier for you to make those leaps towards the next distances because you're already kind of halfway there, exactly. So break down your training weeks. If you've got a coach, hopefully they're doing this for you. But if you don't, look at the calendar and block out those long runs and start to map out exactly how that's going to look like. It's a little bit easier, I think, to work backwards as well. So if we think about when our longest training run will be, maybe 3 or 4 weeks out from the race, then we can work back from there and see, okay, if we need to do 36Ks on the, I don't know, it'd be like the 15th or the 22nd of August, then what do we need to do the week before that and the week before that and so on until we get to today's date or whenever your training program is going to start. That can be a much simpler way to break things down rather than just starting from today and just kind of building and hoping that you're going to get there eventually. So thinking about your recovery, thinking about your long run distance, how far is that going to be? How are you going to make that work? And really being clear about where you are now and what you can handle right now and what your capacity is versus where you need to get to. If you're able to run about 10Ks, it might not be feasible for you to get up towards that 36 kilometer mark in your training, and you might need to be a bit more conservative and then just hope on the day that you've got enough mental toughness, enough atmosphere and excitement and energy to get you through that 42Ks. But we don't need to do the 42Ks before the day, because it's such a large toll and it requires so much recovery. Again, if you're someone who's comfortable with that distance, it's a totally different story. But if you're not comfortable with that distance, if you're not doing regular 30K long runs, then it's going to be a different scenario. And this is why that individualization and specificity is so important for each person. Moving on from there, of course, with the rest of our training, it's going to look different for each person. We might have speed sessions, tempos, thresholds, hill sessions, all that kind of stuff mixed in. But I think our long run is the priority. If you want more detail on the other sessions, send me a message. The next thing I want you to start thinking about is your nutrition and hydration, but most importantly, starting to practice that as early as possible. I think what we tend to do is wait until our long runs are, I don't know, more than 3 hours long, and we start to introduce some gels then. But if we can get into a really good habit of trialing some gels or chews or whatever fuel source you're going to be using as early as possible, even when you think you don't need them or when you know you don't need them. You might be going out for a 1 hour training run. You're not necessarily going to need any intra-run energy or fuel, but if you can at least test it so that you know if your body can handle it, if you know it sits well in your stomach, if you know that you feel good from it, then that's going to be so beneficial. Rather than getting to 2 weeks before the race, trialing a gel and going, oh, that didn't work for me, and then you've got one more week to trial another one, and if that doesn't work, what are you going to do on race day? So start much earlier than you think. It's a lot of trial and error. There's no one-size-fits-all approach, but we really want to try and get as many easy-to-digest carbohydrates in as frequently as possible. Now, that's going to be really limited by our ability to digest and tolerate that and how much our gut can handle. But we can train our gut, we can train our digestive system to handle more. Just like we handle more training load and more kilometers, we can also handle more carbohydrates and fuel during our run. So really important to start practicing that and almost think about it as a progressive overload of getting your body used to having more or more of a variety of fuel during the run. So starting that nutrition and hydration strategy as early as possible and keeping really clear notes of what you've tried and what has worked and what hasn't, so that by the time you get to the race day, you know exactly what you need to take, how much of it you need to take, and when you need to take it. Okay, really, really important. The next thing I want you to consider is really thinking about the specifics of your event. So is the event that you're running, is the course completely flat on road? Are there some hills? Is there different terrain like trail or grass or sand or track, all sorts of things? And what's the weather going to be like? With the weather, of course, you might have a general idea of the season, what it typically is, but of course, as we know from Sydney Marathon last year, the weather can do random things. So obviously having an idea further ahead. And if, for example, if I was to think about my Bondi to Manly Ultra preparation, I think what I needed to do more of is training in the heat. So for that event, yes, it started at 5 or 6 in the morning, but it took me 10 hours. So I'm running right through the middle of the day in late November. So it obviously got really hot. So for me, to best prepare myself for that, doing some of my runs in the middle of the day, even though that sounds awful in summer and that would just be such a hard thing to do, that is going to really well prepare my body for the elements and the environment that I'm going to be in on the race day. So same thing, if your event is going to be in the cold, is there a way that you can train in the cold? Maybe it's obviously a little bit more challenging if you're in a different country or state or environment to where your race is going to be. Obviously that makes things hard, but can you start to think about how to manipulate your environment or your conditions to best suit or match the conditions on race day so that when you turn up, your body already understands and knows what it needs to do. It's got those physiological processes already underlying, ready to go, rather than kind of shocking the system and it not knowing what's happening. So if it's going to be really cold, maybe you can practice your runs later at night or earlier in the morning. If it's going to be hot, can you practice your runs in the middle of the day or can you wear more clothes? There's lots of different ways that you can manipulate that, but making sure that you really understand your specific event and your specific course. If there are hills, trying to understand when those hills are so that, you know, potentially you can translate your training runs to match similar course. So if you've got a run that finishes with lots of hills, can you also do that in training? Or are there hills really early on? For example, if you think about, it's not necessarily really on, but for some of the UTA courses, when you're going down Kadumba, that's for those who don't know, just a very long downhill climb. That obviously gets really tough on the quads. So then you need to be able to make sure that you can handle the rest of the course with your quads being maybe a little bit smashed up or sore or fatigued. So in training, we can simulate that environment by doing maybe some hard downhill reps before continuing on with the rest of our training run. So really being specific with the course. Yes, a marathon is a marathon, 42.2 kilometers, that is the same, but so many other factors can change and there are so many variables. So getting really familiar with the course, maybe looking up some reviews or checking out some Strava maps of some people who've done the event before and seeing kind of what their comments were, or looking at their elevation graphs and all that kind of thing to get a really good understanding so you can then implement that into your training. The next thing I want you to think about is determining your goal and training accordingly. So for some people running a marathon, the goal is going to be to finish and to complete the distance. For some people, they'll have a time in mind. For some people, they might want to enjoy it. They might want to stick with a certain pace. They might want to do a negative split where they run faster in the second half. They might want to run it with a friend. There are so many different motivations and goals and targets and things to think about. But understanding what yours is before you get too deep into the training so that when those hard training weeks are happening, you know exactly what you're doing it for and how it's going to play out on the day. If you're running for a time, then your training is going to be totally different because we need to really start targeting those times in your sessions. You might be doing some long runs with some race pace efforts. You might be doing a progression run where you start a little bit easier and then finish with a harder section at race pace or slightly above race pace. But if you are just simply wanting to complete the distance, then most of your running can be easy jogging. You can just make sure you're ticking over the kilometers or ticking over the hours on your legs and having that as more of your focus. So this is why that individual approach with your program is really important too, because that will change your focus of your training, not only just your race. The next thing, of course, strength training is super important. As we start to increase our training load, we put more stress on our muscles, ligaments, tendons, bones, and everything else. So we need to make sure they can handle that. So introducing some strength training early on, not leaving it late. Our bodies take quite a while to adapt to our strength training, so we really need to start that as early as possible in week one of your training program. Starting nice and simple, some sort of squat, some sort of deadlift, some sort of single leg movement, and some sort of calf raise. Variations of those, making sure they're heavy enough to feel like you're actually doing something, making sure you're getting to that 6, 8, maybe 10 to 12 reps maximum, and feeling like you could only do a couple more reps if you really had to. We're not doing heaps of bodyweight stuff, we're not just jumping around our lounge rooms, but adding some load, moving with control, focusing on that slow contraction, not trying to just do a run in the gym. Okay, they're two totally different things. Getting our strength training in once or twice a week is going to be really, really important. The next thing, super simple, but have at least more than one pair of shoes if you can afford it and if it fits into your budget. We're going to be increasing our training load. We're probably going to be running more frequently. We're going to be running further than before. So making sure that we've got a shoe rotation so that we are loading our structures slightly differently. We're giving certain parts of our body a little bit more of a rest and loading some of our body a little bit more. So you might have a shoe that is a little bit more minimal and then one that is a little bit more chunky and has a thicker sole. You might have one with a carbon plate and one without. You might have a trail shoe and a road shoe, and there's so many different variables, but having a shoe that's different, so not just getting one shoe and then buying the exact same pair, having two totally different shoes, or not totally different, but you know, with some variation, is going to be really, really important if you can afford it and it fits in financially. Obviously, shoes are very expensive, but hopefully you can find a nice sale and get yourself an extra pair. My next consideration would be to get onto Niggles ASAP. This goes for any time of the year, any training program, but particularly if you're ramping up towards a marathon or you're doing a new distance or you're pushing yourself, maybe you're running more kilometers per week than you ever have before, the chances are things are going to start to get a bit achy, a bit tight, a bit sore, a bit stiff. Now, for some of us runners, it can be really hard to determine whether that's just a consequence of the training and we're just feeling the fatigue, or whether we're starting to come on with an injury. So if we don't know that for sure, it's really best that we speak to a professional. My personal preference would be Lydia Mackay. If you're not local to Sydney, then she does do telehealth consults as well, so check her out. And if she's booked out, then any of the running room people, practitioners, physios will be fantastic as well. But getting that checked out first, because if you start, you know, if maybe you're a couple of weeks into your program, you start to get a little bit sore, maybe your shins are hurting a little bit, or your calves, or your hamstring, or your quads, or whatever it is, and you're not quite sure, if you at least just go and chat about it, get them to look at it, get it checked over, test your strength, test your differences between left and right sides, maybe get them to look at your running mechanics, at least then early on you'll have a bit of an understanding whether it was just general soreness from just increasing your load and that's just a consequence of training for a marathon, or is it something that could turn into something more sinister if left alone. You'll then be given some rehab exercises or a program or some really useful advice that you can follow, and then you hopefully won't end up with a proper injury that's going to leave you on the sideline and have you being one of those sad people selling their ticket a few weeks before the event. So get onto those niggles and pain ASAP as soon as you can. Something else that could be quite helpful if we're talking about, you know, getting a bit of a support team and having people around us to help us. We might have a coach, we might have our physio on board, but also thinking about your nutrition as well. I spoke a little bit about, you know, testing out some gels and things, but also more broadly, just our general day-to-day nutrition. As you're increasing your training load, your nutrition demands will also increase. You might need to be taking on more calories because you're now burning through more than you were before, and we really want to avoid being in that calorie deficit if we're increasing our training load, because if we don't have enough food to fuel us, then we're going to start to break down, right? That's all part of that recovery process that I spoke about right at the start. Not only is our sleep important and our kind of training modification and training load, but our nutrition is so important as well. We might need to increase our calories. We might need to increase our carbohydrates for our energy. Maybe we need some more protein to help with that muscle breakdown and repair. You might just be struggling to figure out kind of what foods you need to eat before the run, during the run, after the run. There's so many different factors, and having a nutritionist or a dietitian that specializes in endurance sport is going to be so helpful, because you'll get some great ideas in terms of what you should be eating, maybe some things to avoid, maybe some meal plans, and that will take a little bit of the thinking out of it for you on that side of things. So getting a really nice team around you, having some support from a coach, a physio, a nutritionist, or anyone else, massage therapist, or a performance mindset coach. There's so many people, but I think coach, physio, nutritionist ticks a lot of the boxes to at least start with to get yourself up to that. And, you know, it might not be a matter of seeing these people every week, or you know, if you can't afford all of those things, then of course choose the one that's most relevant to you. But for some people, it might just be as simple as having a quick one-on-one catch up with a nutritionist just to get a bit of an understanding of maybe some things you could improve on, maybe some things you're doing really well, and then a bit of a plan from there. And it might not be needed to have such a follow-up if you can't manage that within your budget. Cool. Was there anything else that I wanted to speak about? I think that's probably it. I think we have gone over the basics. I think what I really want to hammer home and make sure that you take away from this episode is getting some help before you need it, focusing on your recovery, making sure your long run is appropriate to your training, not just what someone else is doing. So if your friend is also training for this marathon and they're going to go out and do a 40K training run a month before the run, don't feel like you have to just because they are doing it. There can be a lot of doubt, there can be a lot of fear, there can be a lot of comparison or jealousy or insecurity around this. So stick with your plan, trust your plan. If someone who knows what they're doing has written it for you, or you've done it yourself and you've done enough research, then you should be on the right track. Don't just do what someone else is doing it just because you think they might be doing it better than you or whatever it is. Sorry, that was a bit of a jumble of words. Get some extra shoes, get into the gym and do some strength training. Allow for some buffer room. So if you have any injuries, illnesses, holidays, work, trips, make sure you allow for that. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a training run, but try to overall be consistent. You know, if we can hit 80% of our planned training, that's pretty good, right? If we happen to miss one or two runs, it's not the end of the world. I think that's another thing with that long run as well, is some people make that to be such a big deal and to be, you know, I have to hit this long run because if I don't run 35Ks, then there's no way I'm going to run 42Ks. But you need to think about your training as a whole and imagine, like, how many kilometers have you run for the past 4 months by the time you get to race day? Think about that as a whole. If you miss one 30K training run, is that really going to make or break you? If you've done the right training and you've been consistent enough for the rest of the time, it shouldn't have that much of an effect. So don't beat yourself up if you do get stuck with missing one particular run. Understanding the demands of the course, making sure you know exactly what you're in for is also going to be really helpful, and getting onto any niggles as soon as possible. So yeah, I think that's it. I think they are my key considerations for training for a marathon or an event of a similar distance. I would love to know what I've missed. I'd love to know what you guys think. If you can answer on Spotify, that would be much appreciated, or you can send us a message on Instagram as well. And if you are interested in a program, or you're thinking about it, or you're not sure if it's right for you, I'd be more than happy to jump on a phone call and chat with you, or chat over message, or whatever you're most comfortable with, and we can figure out whether that is something that is going to suit your lifestyle goals and needs. But yeah, short and sweet today. Thanks so much for listening. Next week we have an episode with Sammy Schultz, which is a really, really, really powerful episode. She's kind enough and generous enough to share her battles with an eating disorder that she experienced in her lead up to the Olympics. Yeah, it's a really incredible story, and we're grateful that she was able and open to share that with us. So that should be next week. We also have, what else do we have? Let me just check the schedule. Oh yeah, we also recorded an episode with Brody from the Run Smarter podcast, which I'm sure you're all familiar with because it is a fantastic podcast that's been going for a very long time, very research-based and very informative. We have recorded two episodes with Brody already on this podcast. One was one of our very first, I think it was like within the first 10 episodes ages ago. The audio quality was terrible. We didn't know what we were doing. But anyway, shows the progress, right? We're leaving it up there. So if you do want to go back and listen, be my guest, but don't bully us about it. We also then had him on again a year or two later. And then we've done a little round table this time. So the three of us, we got some of our most commonly asked questions and we discussed them. We had our own thoughts, we discussed what we thought about each other's thoughts, and it was really fun, it was really enjoyable. We're hoping to try and do those a little bit more frequently, hopefully every 6 months or every quarter or something like that, to kind of just chat about and discuss some of those really common questions that come up all the time and share our thoughts on it. So that will be out as well soon. Hopefully we'll get a bit of a recap as well from Lockie's run. So Lydia's obviously been the physio on the team for Lockie's run from Brisbane to Sydney, so I think that's just going to be an incredible story to share. I think it's been a massive, massive week for them all. It looks like they've been starting at 4 a.m. and finishing at about 10 p.m., not getting much sleep, on the road all day. So I haven't heard much from Lydia, but I'm excited to share that hopefully with you guys as well. So yeah, stay tuned. Lots of exciting episodes coming. Some exciting events happening as well. We've got a little bit of a event happening in the background at the moment, which is hopefully going to be ready for you guys in late June. It's going to be an in-person event in the North Sydney area. I can't say too much about it because it's not all confirmed yet, but once I have more information for you, I will let you know. And yeah, hopefully we see you at an event soon. If you've run UTA, this will be coming out after that, but congratulations. Or if you run Sydney 10 today, congratulations as well. And yeah, plenty more events coming up. We'll see you at maybe Bay to Bay or what else? I don't know. But then I'll be off to Europe. So it's all happening. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate your time. We really appreciate your support and your messages and your shares and likes and all those things. I know it seems a little bit silly and tedious, and people on podcasts ask about this all the time, but seriously, the likes, the shares, the ratings, all that stuff is so powerful and helpful, and it really makes a difference. We spend, I would hate to know how many hours we've spent doing this podcast now, for about 145 episodes for about 3.5 years, and it's all for free. So if you can at least share something, that would be super helpful. If you can like it, if you can just let us know that you're listening and you enjoy it, it means so much. Don't be shy. We absolutely love the messages from everyone, so please send them in whenever you can. Thanks so much, team. We will chat to you next week.